الله اكبر الله اكبر الله اكبر الله اكبر اشهد ان لا اله الا الله اشهد ان لا اله الا الله اشهد ان محمد رسول الله اشهد ان محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاه حي على الصلاه حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاه قد قامت الصلاه الله اكبر الله اكبر لا اله الا الله
الله اكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
انشاءاللہ تعالی بقیہ تسبیحات اور دعا کے بعد ہمارے لیے بہت سعادت کی بات ہے کہ حضرت مفتی شبیر صاحب دامت برکاتہم ہمارے مابین تشریف فرما ہے. حضرت کی طبیعت بھی کچھ ناساز ہے اور یوں ہی الحمدللہ انہوں نے کافی سفر کر کے ہمارے یہاں وہ تشریف لائے ہیں. انشاءاللہ تعالی وہ اپنا درد دل ہمارے سامنے بیان کریں گے اور یوں ہی انشاءاللہ تعالی ہمارے لیے بہت خوب مواعظ پیش فرمائیں گے. تمام حضرات سے گزارش کی جاتی ہے کہ ضرور وہ شرکت کرے اور انشاءاللہ تعالی ہمیں بہت ہی زیادہ فائدہ ہوگا. الحمدللہ وی آر ویری آنرڈ ٹو ہیو حضرت مفتی شبیر صاحب دامت برکاتہم امونگسٹ آور سیلوز. ہی از کرنٹلی ناٹ ٹو ویل اینڈ ہی ہیز ٹریولڈ فرام کوائٹ فار اوے ٹو بلیس اس ود ہز پریزنس. Alhamdulillah, once it comes to knowledge, he is an authority. Similar is the case once it comes to many other aspects. He will be delivering a lecture in which he will be discussing a few very important topics. I do request all the brothers to ensure they do participate. And inshallah ta'ala, hopefully there will also be a talk taking place in the English language. So both those who understand the Urdu language and the English language are requested to participate. Shukran jazeera.
Thank you. رحمتک یا ارحم
اسمر مولی معاذ آگے جی مولی معاذ کو
We initially, inshallah, request Mufti Mu'adh Sahib to come forward. He's going to bless us with his words of wisdom. So Mufti Mu'adh Sahib from Blackburn, mashallah, he's a very learned, well-read scholar. And he has studied in Blackburn Darul Uloom. Then he specialized further on once he comes to South Africa in both hadith and fiqh. And now, alhamdulillah, he teaches at Blackburn Darul Uloom. And very recently he's published a very important book regarding the sciences of ahadith. So I do request all to benefit from his knowledge and also to try to get hold of his work in order to benefit from it. So I request him to come forward and bless us with his words of wisdom.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم اما بعد اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ان الله لا يغفر ان يشرك به ويغفر ما دون ذلك لمن يشاء ومن يشرك بالله فقد ضل ضلالا بعيدا ان يدعون من دونه الا اناثا وان يدعون الا شيطانا مريدا لعنه الله وقال لاتخذن من عبادك نصيبا مفروضا ولأضلنهم ولأمنينهم ولآمرنهم فليبتكن آذان الأنعام ولآمرنهم فليغيرن خلق الله ومن يتخذ الشيطان وليا من دون الله فقد خسر خسرانا مبينا صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين Dear respected brothers and elders, like yourself, I have also mainly just come to listen to Mufti Shabir Saab's bayan, and this is the actual more beneficial program that I have come for as well. So I'll inshallah keep my talk very short and sweet inshallah ta'ala. I want to speak for about 5 minutes if I can about why we are here and about Mawlana's book as well. Mawlana's being very humble, he's not telling us about his book that he's written, mashallah. And then I want to speak 5 minutes more about something that Murtaza will probably shout at me for. The first 5 minutes I want to spend speaking about why are we here? What is this kitab that Mawlana has written and what's the need behind this kitab? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Holy Quran that shaitan, the moment he was chucked out of Jahannam, the moment he was thrown out of Jahannam, he swore an oath. He took an oath that I am going to wage war with your creation. I am going to misguide them. I am going to try every single plot that I can try and I will take them away from your path. Well, in another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the verse I quoted, I'm going to explain that shortly. In another verse, shaitan actually tells Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ثُمَّ لَآتِيَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ وَعَنْ شَمَائِلِهِمْ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is relating to us the statement of shaitan wherein he is saying that I will come towards your servants from every single angle. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs us that it is not only shaitan. It is the army of shaitan that is also working and attempting to misguide us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاسْتَفْزِزْ مَنِ اسْتَطَعْتَ مِنْهُمْ In that ayah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَجْلِبْ عَلَيْهِمْ بِخَيْلِكَ وَرَجِلِكَ That bring your whole army against my servants, no problem. Inshallah they will stand firm and they will defend this religion. So we are at a constant war with the armies of shaitan. And these armies do not only come in the form of, you could say, jinns. Sometimes they are in the form of human beings. And from the history of Islam, we notice Islam started off, it waged this war in its early period during the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Then as the Muslims started to conquer lands, the major fitan or the major tribulations we had in terms of our creed and belief was more from within our tradition, or you could say within Muslims itself. So we had, for example, the Mu'tazila, we had the Khawarij, we had all of these different groups. But Muslims were generally in charge, and we generally did not have to deal with ideas that were being infiltrated into the minds of our children and ourselves as well. However, as time progressed, and we came close to, you could say, the 18th century or the 16th, 17th century as well, you could say, we had the advent of modernity. We had this period where in Europe suddenly gained a little bit of money, and they decided that we are going to conquer different pieces of land. And we had a period of colonialism, and we had a period where in this entire region, which was in darkness and it was completely eclipsed by the Muslim world for about 15 centuries, suddenly woke up. And what an incredible effort they put in spreading their misguidance. So we had, in approximately 18th century, we had this period wherein Orientalists started to come into Egypt through the invasion of Napoleon of France when he invaded Egypt. And this sparked, you could say, the advent of what we call the reformist movement. The reformist movement was led by a number of, you could say, Muslim scholars at that time. They were affected by ideas of modernity. Ideas such as liberalism, feminism, even to some degree the idea that we are allowed to do whatever we want. We don't need to follow such a strict religion as they found it at that time. And at that time, one of the things they had a concern with was also ahadith. So they would be rejecting certain ahadith. And this was now a challenge wherein it was coming from within our tradition. And it was sparked primarily, you could say, in India and Egypt. And so Muslim scholars stood up. And the other day, just the other day, I was going through with the students in our maktab. I was going through the Battle of Uhud. And I was thinking that there are some sublime stories within the Battle of Uhud, really, if you think about it. We had the story wherein Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam appoints some archers and he tells them to stay near that mountain. But there is there is miscommunication. The best way to understand it is there is a mistake that occurred from behalf of some of the Sahaba. They misunderstood what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had told them. So they came down from the mountain because they thought that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had only told them to stay there as long as the battle is going on, and they thought the battle was over. So they started to come down. Suddenly Khalid ibn al-Walid and he has Ikrimah ibn Abi Jahl in his army as well, they launch a counter-attack. And the Muslims are now surrounded. The Muslims are surrounded and suddenly now the Sahaba are defending for their lives, and particularly not their lives, but the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have so many incredible stories. Talha ibn Ubaidillah, his famous story is mentioned in Bukhari and many other books. He puts his hand to stop an arrow from hitting the blessed face of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His hand becomes paralyzed. We have Qatada ibn Nu'man loses his eye. He says, I put my body in front of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because I don't want an arrow to come to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have these in authentic riwayat. Abu Dujana, he lost his life in protecting Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqas, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, different riwayat mention how many people, 14 some mention more than that. We have some poetry that's recorded in Tabqat of Ibn Sa'ad. We actually have a poem. One of the Sahaba who, for example, in this story as well, we have when Talha, for example, when his hand was hit by the arrow, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Sahaba say, we heard him say, Hassan. He actually said, good, no problem, I don't mind. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made dua for him as well. One of the poems that they said, وَجْهِي لِوَجْهِكَ وَفَاءٌ وَنَفْسِي لِنَفْسِكَ فَدَاءٌ وَسَلَامُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكَ غَيْرُ مُوَدَّعِي. The Sahaba gave their lives. So in this story now, what's this story? How is it relevant to what we're discussing right now? So Mawlana Idris Khandalwi rahimahullah in his Siratul Mustafa mentions something incredible. He says, there's a kind of message here that throughout the Muslim life and throughout the generations wherein Muslims will live, there will be moments wherein we will be targeted with ideas. We will be targeted with different deviances and different ideas and different, you could say, indoctrination. However, at that time, a group of Muslims will stand up. And just like those Sahaba defended the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, these Muslims will stand up and defend the life of Sharia. Because this life of Sharia is the living embodiment of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we should be firstly thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He's granted us an ability to actually learn about this kitab that Mawlana has written, which is going to help us and our children to refute some of the ideas that are being put into the brains of us and our children. So we are playing no less of a role, inshallah, and we will, inshallah, gain no less of a reward, we hope, from Allah. than those Sahaba who inshallah defended the life of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, because we are defending his living tradition, which was his Sharia. In the past, so back to the story that I was mentioning, when these Orientalists influenced the minds of the Muslim scholars at that time in Egypt, we had, of course, you know, we take their names and we seek forgiveness for them. They were influenced. We had Jamaluddin al-Afghani, we had Muhammad Abdo, we had Rashid Rida, all of these scholars, rahimahumullah, they were influenced by these ideas. Sheikh Awama mentions that two scholars stood up at that time and they wrote books refuting the ideas of constant feminism, constant liberalism, modernism, refuting of ahadith, etc., that are authentically established. Two scholars stood up. The first was a scholar by the name of Yusuf al-Nabhani. And the second scholar was the absolutely incredible Shaykhul Islam of the Ottoman Empire, the final Shaykhul Islam, you could say, Mustafa Sabri, rahimahullah. And he has an absolutely incredible book that I would recommend everyone to get a hold of, Mawqifu Bayan al-Aqli wal-Ilmi wal-Alam an Rabbil Alameen wa Ibadihi al-Mursaleen. In there he says, Sheikh Awama quotes this one statement, and this is related again to the point that I was making, that at times Muslims may be influenced by ideas. Like I said, all throughout the history of Islam, we were influenced by traditions coming within us. The Khawarij, the Mu'tazila, these were all Muslim groups, so to speak. They were Muslims. For the first time ever, after the 15th century, we are now being completely colonized. Not just our lands, but our minds as well. We are not being defeated on our lands, but we are being defeated with our minds. So he made a powerful and golden statement. He said, Al-haqqu yamrad wa la yamut. He said, the truth can fall ill, but it can never die. And this death will only be avoided by us, inshallah, engaging in these books, reading books like what Mullah has written. It's the stepping stone. And remember, how did they colonize our minds? One of the ways they did it was through education. Education was, it wasn't always through force or physical nature that they colonized our minds. We think like them, we talk like them, we behave like them. We behave in a non-shar'i manner simply because of the education that we've been given. So the way to combat that is to reverse the same process that they did. If we can educate our children on how to combat all of these new ideas that are coming into the minds of our children and even into our minds at times, then this will be the exact same tool that they have used. We have now managed to reverse it. So I would highly encourage, inshallah, all of us to, inshallah, even in our maktabs, perhaps even in our madrasas, this is something, an area which is slightly lacking, even in the Darul Uloom system perhaps, that we spend a lot of time teaching kitabs, but there are some bigger problems out there that our students don't know how to tackle, and perhaps when they go out, they may realize that we don't actually have the tools that we need. So this is the first stepping stone. After this, may Allah make it the means of more kitabs being written from within our tradition, when we learn how to tackle these new ideas and new fitan, new tribulations that are coming along. Now, as I said, I've gone a bit over 5 minutes, but the remaining 5 minutes or 2-3 minutes, I wanted to just spend discussing the importance of valuing our scholars. So we've got Mufti Shabir Sahib with us. He won't like me mention this. He's going to come on and speak as well, so I'm going to stop speaking in 2-3 minutes. We sometimes only start writing about a scholar after he's passed away. And this is something where, when I was studying in South Africa, Mufti Hussain Kadodia once, he was speaking to us that Mulla Fadhl Rahman Al-Azami's biography was written by his son. So he was very happy. We said, why are you happy? So he said, you know, if he passes away, we may lose some of these stories. If we write it whilst he's alive, we can get it checked. So in the same way, we've got these scholars with us. If we value them, spend some time with them. And I would encourage every scholar, whatever stories you have with these scholars, write them down. You could write a little article on your interaction with a certain scholar. It is very important we preserve the heritage that we have within us. We sometimes learn the value of a scholar after he's passed away. Now, Mufsab's, he won't let me say it, but on a day-to-day basis, to see someone in that age to be doing mutala literally from 9:15 in the morning, I would be going into the class, Mufsab's busy, engaged in his kitabs. I'm scared to even look at him because he's so engrossed in his kitabs. I don't want to disturb him. He's fully engrossed inside his kitabs. And any time a scholar comes to Blackburn, Mufsab's door is open. A full 5-course meal, we also benefit. I said to Mufsab, we've eaten more at your house than you've eaten at ours. So this is the humility, humbleness. The love for the sunnah, that's a whole chapter which there are people here who have spent more time with Mufsab. The little time I've seen, He's never worn any other jubba except white jubba. I always see him with a white jubba. These small, small things. Even right now, he's mashallah. He's, you know, not shouldn't say mashallah, but he's broken. He had a leg fracture, but just to show you, many of us, including myself, just sit on a chair and pray salah. Mufti Sahib made an absolute effort, even in Ramadan. I was praying salah with him once, next to him. Even in sajda, he's making an effort with his broken leg to try to do a proper sajda. This is the person we have, mashallah, within our midst. And sometimes we don't value this person until they're gone. So it's important that we take value of all of these. Even here as well, we don't sometimes value. But when he goes to Saudi, he goes to Makkah and Medina, the Arab scholars come. And they read, Musa was saying, Muhammad Rihab, a scholar from Medina, read Usul al-Shashi to Musa. It's a kitab we just study for fiqh, Usul al-Fiqh. They're reading, even when we were there, there were other scholars just coming to read to Mufti Sahib certain hadith kitabs. They just want to get benefit from Mufti Sahib. And we have him in our community, and we need to take value of it. You know, the love for the students is a, you know, every single gathering that I remember of hadith, every other gathering at least, Mufti Sahib will bring a cup of tea for everyone. There's a famous story, Ibn Shihab al-Zuhri. Every time he would hold a gathering of hadith, he would distribute honey. Every muhaddith would be given some honey. Musa brings tea for every muhabba for students. So let's take value of these students. Let's, you know, write about them whilst they're alive. Inshallah ta'ala, we benefit from Musa's words. And I don't want to take too much time. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.
MashaAllah, we're very fortunate that we also have within our midst Dr. Mahmood Chandi, Adamat Barakatuhum. Alhamdulillah, I'm no one to say anything regarding these seniors, but the only thing I can say is that the current Iman and Islam we see within our youth is due to the efforts of these elders. And Allah Ta'ala has blessed him in many manners once it comes to the academic side of religious education. He's at the forefront. He teaches books of ahadith, etc. And he's also a professor, I'd say a lecturer within a university as well. So he's well aware of both sides. So I request that everyone does listen attentively and try to benefit from Dr. Saab's speech, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, hamdan kathiran mubarakan tayyiban fihi mubarakan alayhi kama yuhibbu rabbuna wa yarda. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyy al-mustafa al-mujtaba salatan tatibu bihal qulub wa tukshafu bihal gumumu wal kurub wa tughfaru bihal dhunub. Salatan wa salaman da'imaini mutalazimaini ila yawmi jam'i thaqalain. Amma ba'd, fa'a'uzu billahi minash shaytanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Ara'ayta man ittakhaza ilahahu hawah. Sadaqallahu al-mawlana al-azim. Respected ulama, beloved guests, Hazrat Mufti Sahib, mashallah, has given you a good historical summary of some of the issues that have perhaps been the key drivers to the work that we have before our eyes. First and foremost, allow me to put on record my humble best wishes and commendations and congratulations to our young alim who's produced this work. And whenever we have a Hibs Jalsa, Bukhari Sharif gathering Jalsa, the intention is Tashweeq, that we gather and we encourage, inspire others to follow that pathway, become Hafiz or become Alim, etc. The Muslim community historically has been that community who created knowledge. People came to the Muslim community to learn knowledge. And the value of that journey by others. Christians came, Jewish people came to learn from Muslims. The reason why they came is because Iqra bismi rabbik. When the Muslims taught, they taught with the way that you learn about your Creator. Your knowledge took you to your Creator. Your knowledge taught you the purpose of life, purpose of existence. So, if this was a university lecture theater, I'd put two pictures up. On one side, there'd be a picture of a brain. On the other side, there'd be a picture of a heart. And I'd ask you, which education system were you taught by? All of the system, and I've spent most of my life in a classroom, in different classrooms, is designed to develop your thinking. From nursery, you've got children, grandchildren, who come in 3-4 years after nursery, a few days, I think this, I think that, I think this, I think that. And if you go up to PhD level or beyond, I think too much. It's all about developing your cognitive skills, it's called. And on the other side, in the Darul Uloom system, you are equally doing that. But you're also developing the spiritual lessons behind this, the spiritual heart, and having a balance. And one of the major issues of this problem, and the Muslim community need to acknowledge this, that we have forgotten to visit sheikhs. We have left the khanqa to one side. In fact, we've begun to question the khanqa. Whole Islam was spread in Hindustan before partition, spread through khanqa, through our mashaykh. And we have put that to one side. A lot of the du'as that we listen to after Farz Salah, those du'as with Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, if you listen to Imam Sahib carefully, those du'as will protect your iman. Allahumma aqsil lana min khashyatika ma tahulu bihi baynana wa bayna ma'asik wa min ta'atika ma tuballiguna bihi jannatak wa min al-yaqini ma tuhawilu. And we're asking for certitude, we're asking for obedience, we are asking for this. We have forgotten to ask Allah. We have become so independent. Kalla innal insana la yatgha arra'ahu istaghna. And there is a reason why all this is happening. We live in an age. In my lesson only this morning, after Fajr Salah, I said to the young people, you're going to be dealing with, as young ulama, three key issues in the next decade. You're going to be dealing with this. And you will hear about this. One, at this moment, if a mother is listening to her child crying, she'll probably know why the child is crying. Hungry, feeling cold, wants a cuddle, wants somebody to play with, etc. Now we're going to have an app, and the app's going to tell the parent what the child is crying about. You may well think, how is this going to happen? But to understand that, you have to go back to 60 years of IT development. You're going to have an issue where I may be sat on a sunny beach in Barbados, but you may think I'm sitting right in front of you doing some khitab to you, speaking to you. And this is what we're going to be thinking about, holograms. And it will be so natural. And the border between what is natural and what is unnatural, what is false and what is true, is becoming so blurred. And this, we need a skillful faqih even nowadays to sort out all the grey areas. Life is not just a question of black and white anymore. And the third area I said that you're going to be dealing with is that every single individual who wishes to have a virtual khadim, a virtual artificial intelligence person to sort everything out for us. But that khadim, that virtual intelligence khadim, be your personal, basically, person to take orders, will have read every email you've ever sent, every WhatsApp message you've ever sent, every Facebook entry you've ever done, every social media entry, every Instagram. Now, which one of us is going to put our hand up and say, I really don't want anybody to do that? I really don't want everybody to read every single email I've sent, every single website I've been to, every single Instagram message I have sent. هَذَا كِتَابُنَا يَنْتِكُ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْحَقِّ إِنَّا كُنَّا نَسْتَنْسِخُ مَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. All these inventions are proving the absolute authority of the Holy Quran, right in front of us. Those who do not wish to believe in any creator, Allah Rabbul Alameen, by their own hands is creating that knowledge by which the evidence is right in front of them. Because we live in a time where if we don't see it, we don't believe it. And Islam's principle is, just because you don't see it doesn't mean to say you don't believe it. And if I give you another scenario. Today is Saturday night and most kitchens are on strike on a Saturday night. It's takeaway day and some people, it's Wednesday's takeaway night, Friday's takeaway night, Saturday's takeaway night, Sunday's takeaway night. The takeaway bill is more than the electricity and the gas bill. You're all nodding your head, so basically in agreement. Now, brothers, we've got Eid al-Adha coming up, mashallah. And those people we're having our takeaways with, we're going to have our Eid al-Adha Qurbani meet with, inshallah. If those same people are not in Jannatul Firdaus with you, eating min rizq in Kareem, min Rabbir Rahim, are you going to be happy in Jannatul Firdaus? وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَاتَّبَعَتْهُمْ ذُرِّيَّتُهُمْ بِإِيمَانٍ. If the iman is not there, we're not going to be happy in Jannatul Firdaus. We can kiss goodbye. That same princess of the house which you cuddle and you cry when she becomes the queen of somebody else's house, if that iman is no longer there, who are you going to be cuddling in Jannatul Firdaus? This is what we're talking about, brothers. This is no longer an issue that it's okay. It's now a question of the coming for iman. And very openly. If you think about, if you ask people who work in the top 500 companies of the UK, what is the environment you're working in? Can you keep a beard? Can you keep a stubble? Do you need to wear a tie? Are you allowed to perform salah? How is your mind ticking? They may be performing salah, they may be fasting, they may be going for Jummah, they may be going early for Jummah, but this mind is ticking on secularism wavelengths. And that wavelength is questioning every single thing. And one of the things, Hazrat Mufti Sahib alluded to it, and I mentioned this in a phone call to my Ustaz, Hazrat Mufti Sahib, when decline came into the Christian church in European history, it started with a priest calling another priest non-Christian. Then they lost trust in the priest. They had lost trust in the church anyway, because the church became more very powerful. And that's why you have in Germany, you had this movement that we need now translate the Bible. And when translation comes in, all the garbar sharbar starts. If you don't know the rules of translation, this, that, and the other. And there was no such thing as tasawwuf there. Our mashayikh, because they became mashayikh, because they were at somebody's feet. Any alim who is not at somebody's feet, I would say, look the other way. It's an absolute must for that knowledge that they've acquired 6 years, 8 years, 10 years, whatever, for you're not going to go for your car wash if you don't have a shine to it. That knowledge needs to be buffed. Wisdom needs to be developed. They need to understand how to apply that. Otherwise, what's happening, and just like the author of this book has traveled up and down the country, alhamdulillah, I've been able to do that as well, I can give you scenarios where you will be crying until midnight. Where the parents, mashallah, alhamdulillah, the graduates of a Darul Uloom, but that son is now questioning Allah. Allah. I've had to go only a few years ago to Maulana Sahib, Rahimahullah, please come. My youth are questioning, why should we have fast of Ramadan first? Why should we fast? So I said, why the question? I've never heard, why would the question? He says, because their proof is, if Allah Rabbul Alameen has created so much food for us, then it would go to waste. That is, na qadri, na shukri of Allah. Look how the brain's working. When you don't accept authority above anybody. Nowadays, people go to this apprentice route rather than going a graduate route. You become a qualified solicitor, a qualified barrister. For 2-3 years, you're going to be carrying somebody's suitcase. Any football team, whether Bradford here or anybody else, they're going to have a youth team, you're going to have an academy team, they're going to seriously come. The British did not run a Raj, an empire, just like that. They studied very heavily how the Romans did it. And you brought people up from the ranks. And this is what our mashayikh did. And the crude issue is, that individual, whether you're going to university, if you connection with the Quran, nothing's going to happen to you. If your connection with your teachers, with your mashayikh, or any mashayikh from the mashayikh haqqa, inshallah, nothing will happen to you. I can give you examples of a dozen individuals who are non-Muslims, who are atheists. They will give two months of every year, salary free, voluntarily, in a third world country to help. These are the challenges of our lives. And the thing is, life is working so fast now, we're going to see 20,000 years of progress in this century. Ulama will be baffled with the questions. Absolutely baffled. Darul Ulooms will have, if you want to know a society, one of the things that Orientalists do to learn about a Muslim society is look at the fatwas their muftis are being asked. Allama Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullahi alayhi was a great scholar of his age. Amazing scholar. And people did studies of his 40 volumes of fatwa, of his legal rulings. At which stage of his life, or what types of questions were being received, to understand, not Allama Ibn Taymiyyah, to understand the Muslim community. If you go to Darul Uloom Berri or Darul Uloom Blackburn, if you go to any other Darul Uloom, what fatwas are the Muslim community asking them? That you will understand what is the consciousness of their faith of the Muslim community. Now in this day and age, because progress is so fast, and AI, artificial intelligence, is going to hit everybody. And that's going so sweeping so fast, we're going to have a set of issues. Hazrat Maulana's book will need to be an encyclopedia. All those questions that youngsters are asking nowadays. What's wrong with LGBT? How do you answer that? This is why we need to understand. I'm absolutely surprised this room is not full. Allah Rabbul Alameen grant Hazrat Maulana more spirit and vigor to do even more work and capture his thinking. And mashallah, as I understand, Hazrat Dr. Asmar Sahib sent me some copies of your book, Hazrat Maulana. I think there's 13 topics and you've set it out as a comprehension scenario so that learning can be consolidated. But this must be discussed in class. This is nothing new that Islam has been not dealt with before. Maulana referred to the Mu'tazila. These were people who thought that the human intelligence is higher than Allah's revelation. This is exactly what Maulana was referring to. What happened in Christian Europe when they thought we no longer need the Bible, science is king now. And now we are going towards industrial revolution number 5. We started off working on the land. Then we went to the factory with the machines. Then the machines became computers. Then the computers became smart. They started working for themselves. Now we're going to have more. We're going through 5 changes to the progress. The world's economy has changed at the same time. World's power balance has changed in the same time. For any alim now, you have to understand what's happening in the world in order to guide your community. You have to understand. And there should be absolutely no shame to go and sit with somebody who is an expert in that field to learn all about it. Because the alim has been taught. The genius that is Imam Bukhari, rahmatullahi alayhi, if you any student studies Imam Bukhari, you learn how to question things. You learn how to ask the right questions. And that is what Imam Bukhari rahmatullah is the genius of this. And we are so privileged that Allah Rabbul Alameen created Imam Bukhari amongst the Muslim community to preserve that knowledge for us. How to ask a question is an art. And you can tell the bright student from the question they ask. Then our students, alhamdulillah, they are very bright, our children, very bright. I can give you examples across the UK of the top 20-odd schools and who the pupils are actually there. That incident you heard about, that young girl, about performing Salat or not performing Salat. 350 are Muslim parents, 350 Muslim students. One child is taking them to court. What is the iman of that child? You're taking on a system. I've worked with this system, all my life. It's sophisticated. It's sophisticated. And people who work within that system, they don't have a problem with you being a Muslim. But the fact of the matter is, at that level, Islam is going to spread. Where you have the movers and shakers of the world. And when our child goes to that, how are we preparing it? The Prophet ﷺ created individuals, rijal kar, as we say. Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, Hazrat Mawlana Sumutala Sahib Rahmatullah Ali created individuals. It's our task to create individuals for the next generation. If we want this masjid to be here in 100 years' time, and the same teaching being taught, the same iman, same aqaid, same salah and everything being taught, how are we going to do this? We're thinking 1 year ahead. We're thinking who's going to be in the next committee? Who's going to be the next president? Where everybody else is thinking, how are we going to dismantle this thing in 100 years' time? Islam wasn't dismantled, the education system wasn't dismantled just over like this. It took time. So in order to do all this, we need to understand the age that we are in, number one. Ulama need to understand. Ulama need to sit with this individual. No longer is this young man going to come to the alim. The alim will need to go to the young man and answer the questions. And the biggest thing is this scientific world where you're looking for proof. Proofing for data. Proofing for dalil-e aqli, as we call it. Intellectual proof. If we don't have this, we're not going to believe this. We have to address that point first. The Quran says, "Allazina yu'minuna bil ghaib." First page you turn to, those who believe in the unseen. Just because you can't see it, doesn't mean to say you don't believe it. Allah Rabbul Alameen established. Aqeedah, non-negotiable. Absolutely non-negotiable. I stand up in a university lecture theater and I will say, Islam, non-negotiable for belief system. Just like in Christianity, it's non-negotiable about the Trinity. Non-negotiable about the rapture, i.e. when Isa alayhi salatu wasalam will come in a cloud, those who are Christians, Isa alayhi salam will take them. This is the Christian belief. These are non-negotiable beliefs, aqidah. Non-negotiable beliefs within Judaism. There are non-negotiable beliefs in Islam. Tomorrow you're going to ask. Today you might ask one thing. Tomorrow you must ask another thing. Tomorrow you're going to ask about Allah. If you look at, for example, in Kitab al-Tafsir, Imam Bukhari rahmatullah systematically goes through about the Quran, levels of engagement. All those, I look at Kitab al-Tafsir, these are the same questions that all the Mustashrikun and the Orientalists ask about Quran. Before the time Imam Bukhari rahmatullah had answered them. And the other thing that we've forgotten, ulama have forgotten, is reading books. The biggest thing that they may read now, perhaps it's Sky News, football scores. Four rakats is done before the dua is done. The phone is out. What was the score? Allahu Akbar, you can do that at any time. But that same passion that you go for the football score, why is that same passion not there to open any book? Which is your job to do. Our younger children are in school and colleges and universities faced with so many questions for ulama need to prepare for. 2% at best are going to Darul Ulooms. Perhaps another 20% are going to Muslim schools. Where is the rest going? If you are shy to perform salah because somebody says you can't perform salah, what's going to happen in 10 years' time? This is why the madrasa system, and I've always believed this, we openly say Isa alayhi salatu wasalam is not the son of Allah. We openly say this. Even if it's a Christian sat there, we have no embarrassment to say this. Why can we not openly say, I as a Muslim do not accept the activity of LGBT? But Islam equally says, nobody is less than human. And it's our task to show what is natural, what is unnatural, what is good and what is bad. We live in an age where ma'ruf has become munkar. And munkar has become ma'ruf. كَيْفَ أَنْتُمْ إِذَا يَكُونُ الْمَعْرُوفُ مُنْكَرًا وَالْمُنْكَرُ مَعْرُوفًا أَسَيَكُونُ ذَلِكَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ قَالَ بَلْ أَشَدُّ مِنْ ذَلِكَ يَعْمُرُ النَّاسَ بِالْمُنْكَرِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمَعْرُوفِ. Well, how will you be, oh companions, when good will become bad and bad will become good? Think about it, brothers. Do you not see this in your life every day? You open your app, you'll see this on Sky News. You see this on BBC News. You begin to question something, you're harassed. The formula of what a good society is totally flipped. And those who say this is wrong, they've had it. So the mouth has been closed. That hadith, which says, مَنْ رَعَى مِنْكُمْ مُنْكَرًا فَلْيُغَيِّرْهُ بِيَدِي فَإِلَّمْ يَسْتَطِئْ فبي لسانه فإن لم يستطع فبقلبه. Now we're up to that level. But in that level, becoming desensitized. When we listen to the news about Palestine, this is being normalized now. Allahu Akbar. This has become the only way this will become alive again. وَكَذَلِكَ أُحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ رُوحًا مِّنْ عَمْرِنَا. In this ayat, Allah Rabbul Alameen is called the Quran Ruh, لِأَنَّهُ يُحْيِي الْقُلُوبِ. Because the Quran has the power to aliven the Quran. Our engagement with the Quran is not there. How many of us actually cry when reciting the Quran? Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi has a whole chapter about crying whilst reciting the Quran. Allahu Akbar. The answer is with us. We've just put it to one side. We've become a lazy community. We've left reading, left our scholarly engagement, learning from each other. I can tell you many conferences where there's a Muslim issue about Hadith, Quran being discussed. And most of the professors are non-Muslims. And the amount of knowledge they may well have. Knowledge, having knowledge is one thing. But having the noor of that knowledge in your heart is another thing. That will come with your companionship with your mashayikh. So I'm taking too much time, brothers. There are other people. But what we need to understand, we must, number one, commend Hazrat Aqdas Maulana on his efforts and encourage him to do more. If this was outside society, Maulana would be invited for a special award. The people of the masjid should acknowledge, Maulana said, acknowledge ulama. Like in the Catholic system, to become a saint, you have to die. Acknowledge the people of the young men. These are our leaders. The only thing that I mentioned earlier, if you want your awlad, your children with you in Jannatul Firdaus, the only person stopping from that that happening, that will encourage, give you your child, is these types of maulana. That's why we need to. We're programmed to think, what's in it for me? When we fast, Allah, I fasted 30 days, give me this. Our relationship with Allah is transactional now. It's a mu'amala with Allah. It's a deal on the table. I fast, you forgive my sins. Our mashayikh taught us, you go for radai ilahi. The haji will go to hajj. After all the trouble of getting to hajj and spending about £12,000 to get there, when he sees the Kaaba for the first time, every thought is gone. Imagine the thought, brothers, when all these problems of this world, when we see Allah for the first time. Allah's known. لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا الْحُسْنَ وَزِيَادَ. When we see Allah, may Allah make us from among those that we are always, not just on a Friday, always in the company of Allah. But that's not going to happen. We're going to have to protect our iman. There's one story after another story in Asma'ul Rijal or Kitabul Sahaba or Hikayatul Sahaba or how the Sahaba protected their iman. And in our time, how are we going to protect our iman? We forgot the du'as to make. Imam Sahib, in Jummah, you will notice Imam Sahib has barely said Assalamu Alaikum on the left and half the masjid is already gone. And Imam Sahib has finished his du'a, the half of whatever's left is also gone. And the interpretation is, it's only sunnah, tawbah, astaghfirullah. These hadiths, these sunnan, this nawafil, our salatu tarawi, in the language of sharia, these are mukammilat. Let me explain you in money terms. You will all have a smartphone, or most of you at least. I know Mufti Saab doesn't. Smartphone. On your smartphone will be a banking app. Don't pretend you don't have one. On your banking app, you will have pots of money where you have a main account, a rainy day account, a child's wedding account, some other account, and you're moving money from pot to pot to pot to pot to pot. These sunan, these nawafil, all will be the different pots from which they will be filling your main account on the Day of Judgment. Mukammilat. Why are we arguing about 8 rakat or 20 rakat? Why can we not see the bigger picture? That I'm going to be in front of my Creator. And the only thing that will speak there, Haza kitabuna yantiku alaykum bilhaq. This is your record of deeds. We were writing everything down. Just like your artificial intelligence khadim is going to be looking at every single thing. If you want. Every single activity you have on your phone. If I say, give me your phone, I will tell you, you've been on here, you've been on here, you've been on here. Why do you think you go on certain thing and an algorithm has worked out what your interest is in? You're looking for a ticket to Umrah, Skyscanner is sending you all the messages. How does Skyscanner work all this out? Now, this is the world that this young people is growing up in. This is why it's important we have Muslim teachers there. But those Muslim teachers need to be in Durood Sharif Majlis on Thursday night. They need to be in Etikaf in Ramadan. They need to be in the Khanqah in Ramadan of a Sheikh. So they can guide and see. And see the world as it is. May Allah Rabbul Alameen protect our Iman. And raise more ulama like Hazrat Maulana here, who captures his thoughts and what to do about all of this thing. This is the tip of the iceberg, brothers. If I give you an example of what's happening in different parts of the world, you will be absolutely shocked. How Allah is blessed us. We have a great masjid, but how many people actually use it? Where is the crowd that is between teenagers from 13 to 25 in the masjid? If they're not nurtured, who's going to take over the masjid in 25 years' time? What kind of ideology is going to be on the committee in 25 years' time? All our mashayikh, all our buzruks work very hard, factory saving up, doing chanda, doing in snow, this, that, and the other, going up the hills of this Bradford, and within 20 years, the masjid is gone. This is reality. A check on reality. This is why we must make dua and cry. Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, he gathered his children. And he asked, what are you going to be worshipping after me? This is a Nabi, a prophet of his age. Who are we? And the children of Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, who, you know who they were. Who are we? Where will our children be? The one dua we must make is for our children until the day of judgment. Allah keep iman there. Allah keep iman there. Child is born, make intention, make him a hafiz. Even if his memory of that hafiz becomes a bit weak, because of engagement with the Quran, inshallah, his iman will remain protected. Even if he is not getting number one in a Darul Uloom, because of his study with mashayikh, his iman will be saved. At least they're performing salah, at least they're eating halal. Basic things that we need to nurture within our community. And for this, we have to turn to Allah. Allah, our mashayikh taught us du'as. We don't know these du'as. Our salat is focused elsewhere because our wudu is focused elsewhere. Our books of hadith teach us the du'as to recite at the time of wudu. We focus on our wudu first, our namaz will be focused itself. Our wudu is full of other types of thoughts whilst we're doing wudu. How is our namaz going to be focused? We don't focus on how to do ruku, sujood properly. We're in a hurry how to finish things off on the fast track lane. If we could give speeding tickets for people performing salah, the police would never be out of business. This is serious, brothers. This is iman. There are hadiths from Babu Ashrat Issa'a, signs of the day of judgment. Yusbihul mu'minu wa yumsi kafira. A person will be a believer in the morning and a disbeliever by evening. How will this be? Ideology, thinking patterns, beginning to ask everything, all kinds of. This is limited, no matter who you are. It's limited. The only thing is limitless in knowledge is the words of Allah Rabbul Alameen. An interpretation of the Holy Quran. Wherever anybody has tried to interfere with the Quran just using their human intelligence, they've slipped. They've slipped. This is why you be careful who your children are taught by as well. If they're going to school, make sure you go to every parent's evening. Make sure you question. You have a right. Have a seminar here. I'm happy to come. And explain what are your rights. What is being taught in schools? What is the difference between primary school, secondary school, college and university? We need to, this is our responsibility. Allah will ask us. Imam Ghazali, rahmatullah, he says, As-sabiyyu jawharatun nafisa. A child is a precious gem. In awwattahu khayra nasha'a alayhi wa laka thawab. If that child is habituated and grows up nurtured on good behavior pattern, he will grow up, this will become his habit, and you will get the reward. وَإِنْ عَوَّدْتَهُ شَرَّا, if you teach him bad habits, نَشَعَ عَلَيْهَا وَعَلَيْكَ الْبِصْرِ, you will have the sin of that activity. Our children, our responsibility. Nobody's going to help you with that. Otherwise, on the day of judgment, they will come and hold you from here. Have we got the strength to face up to that and answer to Allah? That is the question. Do we want to be with our loved ones in Jannatul Firdaus and sit on that dastarkhan of Allah Rabbul Alameen and be smiling there as well? Otherwise, the smile will be wiped off our face. Wa akhiru ta'wana. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Hazrat Mullah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihi al-kareem, amma ba'd. What's the guy going to say when he can't even clip his microphone properly?
Who here has studied in a Darloom? Alimna, put your hands up if you studied in a Darloom. Okay, hands down. Who here was at the course this afternoon? I don't know where to begin. Maulana Saifuddin Saab's, I don't really know him that long. Shayad humari dosti. Kyun Mauli Saab? Dosti hai ya nahi hai?
Iman ke waste
hai. So, we went to visit somebody's home, Gujarati khandan che. Sister had left Islam. She'd went to maktab. Like you, she'd studied the Quran like you, she learned her du'as like you. But I remember one phrase Maulana might remember better than me, and that's maybe the point I'm going to put here. She says, I didn't really see the value in Islam. Don't tutting bad me, look at what she's saying. She didn't see the value in Islam. And I'm just going to pick up from when Maulana Mahmood Saab left Imam Ghazali, rahmatullah alayhi. He mentions, you know, children, it's a process. When they're young, they're just like a seed. You put it there, you put the information there, you tell them what to believe. But then at certain stages in their life, you water that same seed to remind them, by the way, you were taught this 10 years ago, this is what it means today. So this is one deed in my own house and with Maulana's book. You point out to the community, okay, you know what, this is why Islam is better. You know, sometimes we make this tarjama that Islam, we translate, it's a complete way of life. I think we should change it, Maulana, meri raya hai. Okay, it's a complete, better way of life. Okay, but you will not be able to justify that tarjama unless you have the appropriate knowledge from Quran, from Hadith, all ta'aluk with mashayikh, what has Maulana mentioned, okay? Sahab ne kya wo farmaya tha ke billi ke khab mein cheechde. You asked me to translate that one day, Mufti Sahab. I had no idea Mufti Sahab meant by billi ke khab mein cheechde. But since mere khab mein cheechde, we're doing Hajj Taleems right now. Maulana mentioned Eid ul Adha. So, Maulana Ismail Sahab, sorry, put you on the spot. I know you don't mind, yeah? You Muslims, okay, you take a knife, okay, to hundreds, if not hundreds of thousands of animals, and you spill blood in the name of Allah. Where is the sense in that? Kya jawab denge? If I put a picture up of blood everywhere, okay, this is what the world thinks. Let's be blatantly honest, okay? And I know there'll be people much more learned than me that will have an answer. Don't give me the answer. Just put your hand up if you have an answer. That's all I want to know. Be honest if you have an answer. Dr. Saab will definitely have one. Ustad will have one. He's being humble. No, be dil ki baat. Just put your hand up if you have an answer. If I put that picture up today, put your hands down. Are you telling me that at Nur al-Islam, 99% of this room does not have an answer? Yeah. Look at the guy next to you. You're telling me that as ulama, you told me a lot of you studied at Darul Uloom. 99% of this room does not have an answer. Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, again, Taluk with Mashayikh. Fantastic kitab. Maslahatul Aqaliyya lil Ahkam al Naqaliyya. I'm sure Maulana has probably covered in his kitab, okay? There's lots of answers that we can give to this, but I just wanted to illustrate the point that we needed to be in that course this afternoon. I had Hajj Talim. I actually was so upset with myself that I couldn't go to learn. I'm sure Maulana Shafqat Farwani will send me the videos. Go home today, speak to your... Where were your children? Where is everyone? Where are we? Okay? Maulana, to be honest, Maulana Saifuddin Saab, I don't think he really cares who uses his kitab or not. He just wants the ummah to have faida. Okay? Mukhlis log hai, Allah Pak sends them, yeah? I'm getting no money from this. None of the scholars here. Maulana Mahmood Saab, he's never met Maulana Saifuddin Saab. Okay, he's just going on his writing. We're not getting paid to say this. We're only doing this for the sake of the ummah. But I'll finish on this very quickly, that when you're putting the knife to the animal's neck, okay, there's various angles you can take, because science will show you a nice graph. It will say, look, there's a spike in the neurons in the brain. And they'll say, immediately, you're causing the animal pain. Okay? How are you going to answer that? Well, the answer is that just because there's a spike on the graph, it means that there's something going on in the animal's brain. But how do you know it's not pain? How can you prove to me that he's not remembering Allah? Ek jawab. Take it? Second answer, Maulana Hayat Saab, do we give antibiotics? I know you don't. Do we give antibiotics? Put your hand up if you have ever had antibiotics. Even by mistake. Take it. Majority of the room is antibiotics, yeah. Is antibiotics killing a living organism, yes or no? To wo bhi mujrim, hum bhi mujrim. Take it. So again, that's the aqli response. And then finally, okay, just tie it all together. What Hazrat Ustad was mentioning in the car. And you know what? When you put that knife to that animal, Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah mentions that you tell yourself that Allah, you have made this animal musakhar. You've given me power over it. You have given me power over the ants. You have given me power over the camels, the goats, the young children, okay? You have given me everything in this life so that they serve me. My purpose is now to use them to serve you. This is the benefit of having taluk and reading many books. There's a fun whole topic known as Asrar al-Sharia. We need to bring this into our lives, brothers. I think I've illustrated what the issue is with Maulana. Forgive me, man. I didn't want to embarrass anyone. In that 99% that didn't know, I was just fortunate that I read something a few weeks ago. Ho sakta ke all the other questions, I will be in that 99%. Also, Allah Pak, give me the tawfiq. Subhanallah, wa bihamdi. Subhanakullah, wa bihamdi. Ustad Yari.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على السيد الحبيب المصطفى وعلى آله وصحبه نجوم الهدى قادة التقام ما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم صبغة الله دیکھیں میرے بزرگوں اور دوستو بہت سی باتیں کہنے کی ہے لیکن وقت بھی کم ہے اور میری طبیعت بھی کچھ زیادہ چلتی نہیں ہے ہم تو مدرسے والے ہیں پہلے تو حضرت مولانا کو ہم بہت مبارکبادی دیتے ہیں کہ انہوں نے امت کی طرف سے ایک فرض کفایہ ادا کیا ہے عامتاً ہماری یہاں مشہور یہ ہے کہ فرض عین فرض کفایہ سے افضل ہے, لیکن بعض مسائل میں فرض کفایہ فرض عین سے افضل ہو جاتا ہے, اس لیے کہ تم نے وہ ذمہ داری پورے محلے کی ادا کر دی, اس کا ثواب فرض عین سے زیادہ ملتا ہے. ایک تو یہ بات ہے, اور یہ حدیث بہت زیادہ مشہور ہے, ان اللہ یبعث لہذہ الامہ علی رأس مئت سنہ من یجدد دینہ. اول تو رأس مئت سنہ پر مستقل باس ہے کہ اس سے کیا مراد ہے, اس لیے کہ تاریخ کی ابتدا تو حضرت عمر کے دور سے ہوئی ہے. بابن من این ارخ التاریخ, بخاری میں. اور یہ وقت نہیں بنا میں آپ کو بتاتا کہ جب مسئلہ یہ آیا حضرت عمر کے زمانے میں, ایک عامل نے خط لکھا مثلا یس, پھر اس کے بعد دوسرا خط بھیجا نو, دوسرا خط پہلے پہنچا, پہلا خط بعد میں پہنچا, تو بالکل بات الٹی ہو گئی. اس لیے کہ اس زمانے میں تاریخ نہیں لکھتے تھے. حضرت عمر نے صحابہ کرام سے مشورہ کیا, اور بہت زیادہ حضرت عمر وفاق مشورہ بہت زیادہ کرتے تھے. اور یہ تو حضور علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام کی عادت شریفہ, مستقل سنت مشورہ کرنا. اور اسی لیے حضور علیہ السلام نے فرمایا کہ اگر موقع مشورہ نہ ہو اور مجھے کسی کو امیر بنا کر بھیجنا ہو تو ابن ام عبد کو بھیجوں گا. کون؟ عبداللہ ابن مسعود. لیکن لو امرت احد من غیر مشورہ, بعض دفعہ ہوتا ہے اچانک کوئی بات آ گئی, اسی وقت فیصلہ کرنا ہے, تو اس وقت آپ تھوڑے کہیں گے فجر کے بعد مسجد میں جا کر مشورہ کروں گا, وہ تو مر جائے گا, ہسپتال میں مر جائے گا. اس وقت آپ کو فتویٰ دینا پڑے گا, اس وقت مفتی اکرام صاحب کا انتظار نہیں کر سکتا میں. تو میں یہ بتا رہا تھا کہ حضرت عمر رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ بکثرت جو مشورہ, تو یہ تاریخ جو تاریخ سے بار چلی تھی کہ بابن من این ارخ التاریخ, امام بخاری نے اور بعض نسخوں میں اسی بابن ہے, تو اس میں تاریخ کب سے شروع کرے, چند باتیں مشورے میں آئی. کسی نے کہا کہ حضور علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام کی ولادت سے, ہمارے یہاں بھی برتھڈے از اے گریٹ تھنگ, برتھڈے از اے گریٹ تھنگ. جب کسی نے کہا کہ نہیں نبوت سے, کسی نے کہا نہیں ہجرت سے, اور آج کل ہوتا تو کہتے ویڈنگ اینیورسری سے. خیر وہ بات تو نہیں آئی, اس لیے کہ حضور علیہ السلام کی تو کہی ماشاء اللہ. اور ایک بات یہ آئی وفات سے, کب سے وفات. خیر ولادت حتمی نہیں تھی, نبوت کی تاریخ بھی اور وفات گو حتمی تھی لیکن مولم ہے, یہ انسان کو یاد دلاتی ہے کہ اس دن اللہ کے نبی دنیا سے گئے. ہمارے مشائخ جب باب وفات نبی علیہ السلام پڑھاتے تھے بخاری میں روتے تھے, شیخ نور اللہ عنہ جو پڑھا نہیں سکتے تھے, اتنا روتے تھے جہاں حضور علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام کی وفات کا ذکر آتا تھا. تو خیر پھر کس کو لیا؟ ہجرت کو لیا, اور ہجرت ہی سے ماشاءاللہ اسلام پھر پروان چڑھا ہے. میں صرف یہ بتانا چاہتا ہوں, یہ حدیث ہے ابو داؤد کی, مشکات میں بھی ہے, ان اللہ یبعث لہذہ الامہ علی رأس مئت سنہ من یجدد دینہ. جب خرابی آئے گی امت میں اللہ ایسے افراد کو پیدا کریں گے جو ان خرابی کو دور کریں گے. یہ ایک شخص نہیں ہوگا, من عام ہے. تو ہم دعا کرتے ہیں اللہ پاک سے کہ جو خرابی ہے اللہ پاک اس کے مجدد حضرت مولانا کو بنائے. انسائکلوپیڈیا یا کیا مولانا کہہ رہے تھے, بڑا اہم مسئلہ ہے مولانا, بہت اہم مسئلہ ہے. میں آپ کو سچ بتاتا ہوں, اگر ہمارے خاندان میں ایک شخص بھی ایک بچہ بھی ایمان سے ہٹ گیا, ہمارا انگلینڈ آنا بیکار ہے, بیکار ہے. اسی لیے میں نے آیت پڑھی تھی صبغت اللہ, یہ تو یعنی
ہر آدمی اس کو سمجھے گا نہیں کہ صبغت اللہ کیا ہے. اللہ کے رنگ میں بچوں کو رنگنا ہے. یہ لوگ کیا کرتے تھے مولانا, وہ کیا کہتے ہیں, ہاں یہاں ظاہری بیپٹائز نہیں ہے, یا دل میں ڈالنا ہے. حضرت یعقوب علیہ السلام, ووصى بها ابراہیم بنیہ و یعقوب, تو لکھا ہے کہ یعقوب علیہ السلام نے پتا یہ وصیت کب کی ہے, جب ملک الموت آ گئے. کون آ گئے؟ انبیاء کرام علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام کی روح. ملک الموت اس وقت تک قبضہ نہیں کر سکتے جب تک اجازت نہ لے لے. ملک الموت علیہ السلام سے پوچھ کر آنا, موسیٰ علیہ السلام نے تھپڑ مار دی, تھپڑ مار دی, آنکھ ٹوٹ گئی ملک الموت کی. ایک مستقل باسے میں تو صرف تمہیں سمجھانا چاہتا ہوں. ملک الموت الرفیق الاعلی, اللہ اکبر. حضرت عائشہ کہتی ہے میں سمجھ گئی کہ حضور علیہ السلام اپنی زندگی میں کہا کرتے تھے کہ نبی کی روح ملک الموت قبض نہیں کر سکتے جب تک اجازت نہ لے. اس لیے حضور علیہ السلام سے اجازت لی تو آپ نے فرمایا الرفیق الاعلی. خیر میں یہ بتانا چاہتا ہوں, موسیٰ علیہ السلام کے پاس بھی, حضرت آدم علیہ السلام کے پاس بھی ملک الموت آئے. آدم علیہ السلام نے کہا ابھی تو میرے 60 سال باقی ہے یا 40 سال باقی ہے. تو پھر لمبی حدیث ہے, ملک الموت نے کہا کہ آپ نے اپنے بیٹے داؤد کو نہیں دے دیے تھے, حدیث میں بخاری وغیرہ کی حدیث. فجحد ذریت نسی آدم فنسی ذریت. میں جو بتانا چاہتا ہوں, حضرت یعقوب علیہ السلام, ملک الموت آ گیا, ملک الموت آ گئے, اللہ مشتاق ہے آپ سے ملنے کے. جیسے حضور علیہ السلام کو بھی جبرائیل نے کہا تھا, اللہ پاک اللہ ہم سب کو ایسی موت دے, ہر مومن کو ایسی موت دے کہ اللہ پاک ہمیں ہمارے سے ملاقات کے مشتاق ہو. اسی کو تو کہا من احب لکا اللہ احب اللہ ہو. ارے شیخ نور اللہ مرکدو نے اس کا ترجمہ اشتیاق سے کیا ہے. جس کو اللہ سے ملنے کا اشتیاق ہوگا اللہ پاک اس سے ملنے کے مشتاق ہوں گے. وہ تو آپ نے حدیث کئی دفعہ پڑھی, ایک بالش تم آگے آؤ ہم ایک زر آئیں گے, چل کر آؤ ہم دوڑ کر آئیں گے. بڑی ہوئی یہ حدیث. میں صرف یہ بتانا چاہتا ہوں میرے دوستو, صبغت اللہ, ہمیں اپنے بچوں کو اللہ کی معرفت اللہ کی محبت سے رنگ دینا ہے. دنیا کی کوئی طاقت اس رنگ کو ختم نہیں کر سکتی. اوپر کے رنگ کو تو کوئی بھی ختم کر سکتا ہے لیکن دل کے رنگ کو کوئی ختم نہیں کر سکتا. تھوڑے یعقوب علیہ السلام کے پاس کون آئے؟ ملک الموت, اور کہا اللہ مشتاق ہے آپ سے ملنے کے. کہا ذرا ٹھہریے, مجھے تھوڑی مہلت دیجئے, میں اپنی اولاد کی فکر کر کے دنیا سے جاؤں. اور ساری اولاد کو جمع کی. ووصى بها ابراہیم بنیہ و یعقوب یا بنی ان اللہ اصطفى لکم فلا تموتن الا وانتم مسلمون. خبردار. اور اسی میں پوچھا تم میرے بعد کس کی عبادت کرو گے؟ قالو نعبدو پرونا الہ کا ابراہیم اسماعیل. تمہیں معلوم ہے موٹا ابا اہیں تھی نہیں کہہ روچے نہیں سمجھے بھائی, اپنے ابا کے بڑے بھائی کو کیا کہتے ہیں بڑے ابا. دیکھو یہاں کیا کہا, نعبدو الہ کا و الہ آبائی کا ابراہیم. پھر کون ہے؟ اسماعیل. حقیقی دادا تو اسحاق ہے, اسماعیل کیا ہے؟ دادا کے بھائی ہے. تو بڑے ابا کا لفظ یہاں سے نکلا ہے, ورنہ ابا سے وہ بڑا کا کیسے کہاں ہو گیا. میرے دوستو میں سے یہ بتانا چاہتا ہوں, ووصى بها ابراہیم بنیہ و یعقوب, اس کو لکھ لو سونے کے قلم سے. اپنی اولاد کو ہمیں دنیا بھر کی فکر ہے کہ میرے مرنے کے بعد میرے بچے کا کیا ہوگا, فیکٹری کا کیا ہوگا, دکان کا کیا ہوگا, اس کا کیا ہوگا, یہ تو سب 50 سال اور ہمیں تو غزہ کے مسلمانوں نے یقین کرا دیا. ان کو کسی چیز کی فکر نہیں ہے, ان کو فکر یہ ہے کہ یہ شہید ہو گیا تو میں کیوں شہید نہیں ہوں, یہ شہید ہو گئے میرے 10 بچے تو میں کیوں شہید نہیں ہوں, اس پر افسوس ہے. تو شاید وقت ہو رہا سبغت اللہ, اس کو یاد رکھو, اپنے آپ کو, اپنی اولاد کو, اپنے متعلقین کو, اپنے شاگردوں کو, اپنے مسجد میں آنے والوں کو, اپنے سارے محلے والوں کو, ہر کلمہ گو کو سبغت اللہ پر رنگ لو, اس میں رنگنا ہے. اور اس سارے فتنے اس سبغت اللہ سے ہٹانے کے ہیں. یہ کیا فتنے ہیں؟ سبغت اللہ سے ہٹانے کے فتنے ہیں. تو اس لیے میرے دوستوں, اس کتاب پر میں مولانا کو بھی مبارکبادی دیتا ہوں, اللہ ان کی اس خدمت کو قبول فرمائے. اور ہم خاص کر ماشاء اللہ یہاں میں بہت سے علماء کو دیکھ رہا ہوں اس فکر کو لے کے اٹھے, فکر کو, آپس کے اختلافات کو چھوڑیے, چھوڑیے اختلافات کو. تمہیں کوئی قبر میں پوچھنے والا نہیں کہ تم کس طبقے کے تھے, کس فرقے کے تھے. کیا پوچھے گا؟ رضیت باللہ ربا وبالاسلام دینا وبمحمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نبی و رسول. اسی لیے حضور علیہ الصلاۃ والسلام کی دعا, یہ بھی آج سبق لے کر جاؤ, اذان کے بعد ہم کیا پڑھتے ہیں؟ اللہم رب عدید, اور پھر حدیث میں رضیت باللہ ربا, یہ ہے من ربک وبالاسلام دینا ما دینک وبمحمد نبیا ورسولا. حضرت بلال حبشی, حضور علیہ السلام نے پوچھا کہ بلال میں جنت میں گیا تو تیری آہٹ میں آگے آگے سن رہا تھا, بھائی تو کرتا کیا ہے؟ بلال حبشی کہاں گئے؟ الاذان فی الحبشہ. اور کیا بلال تھے؟ حضرت عمر فرماتے تھے حضرت بلال کے اور ابو بکر کے, ابو بکر سیدنا و آتاقا سیدنا, غلام کو سید کہہ رہے ہیں. میں نے آپ کو بلال حبشی کیا تھے, سبحان اللہ کیا تکلیف ہے. حضرت بلال نے اسلام کے خاطر جیلی ہے. تو میرے دوستو بس آج کا ردید, ہمیں فکر اس کی کرنی ہے کہ میں بھی اور میری اولاد بھی اور ہر کلمہ کو قبر میں جا کر ردید باللہ ربا وبر اسلام دینا وبی محمد نبی و رسول. اور کوئی سوال ہونے والا نہیں, اپنے دل میں, دل کو ایمان سے رنگ دو, اپنے بچوں کی تربیت اس طرح کرو کہ دنیا کی کوئی کائنات ان کو ایمان سے نہ ہٹا سکے. مشہور ہے حضور علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام مکی زندگی ہے, امام بخاری نے ترجمہ منعقد کیا ہے, ما لقی النبی علیہ السلام واصحابہ, حضور اور صحابہ کرام علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام کو کیا تکلیف نہیں پہنچائی گئی. صحابی آ رہے ہیں حضور علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام کے پاس اور آپ کو کہہ رہے ہیں, حضور نے کیا فرمایا؟ امم ماضیہ میں ایسے لوگ ہوئے ہیں, ایسے لوگ کہ ان کو آرے سے چیر دیا گیا لیکن وہ ایمان سے نہیں ہٹے. قربان جائیے شرہ پر. شرہ فرماتے ہیں کہ حضور کے صحابی کے ساتھ اگر ایسا ہوتا کبھی ایمان نہ چھوڑتا, ان سے برکر تھے. اور بلال کا واقعہ اور کئی واقعات حضرت سمیہ کا, حضرت یاسر کا ہمارے سامنے ہیں. اللہ ہمارے ایمان کی حفاظت فرمائے, ہمارے بچوں کی ایمان کی حفاظت فرمائے. ہم دوستو فکر کریں, فکر کریں. رات کو اٹھ کر 2 رکعت پڑھ کے اللہ سے مانگیے اور کوئی چیز اللہ, لیکن یہ اللہ ہمیں ہمارے ایمان کی حفاظت فرما, ہمارے بچوں کی ایمان کی حفاظت فرما, ہماری بچوں کی ایمان کی حفاظت فرما. ہر گناہ معاف ہوگا, ہر گناہ معاف ہوگا. کسی نہ کسی دن وہ جہنم سے نکلے گا, لیکن بغاوت, کفر, شرک, ارتداد, اتیزم, اس کی معافی نہیں ہے, بغاوت ہے. اللہ کی بارگاہ سے اللہ مجھے بھی اور آپ کو بھی توفیق عطا فرمائے, اور اللہ پاک حضرت مولانا کو بہترین اس کا بدلہ عطا فرمائے. ہمیں اپنے ائمہ کی, اپنے اماموں کی دوستوں قدر کرنے کی ضرورت ہے. میں کہا کرتا ہوں ہر ایک میں کوئی نہ کوئی خرابی ہوتی ہے, میں تو یہ سمجھتا ہوں کہ دنیا کا ہر کلمہ کو مجھ سے افضل ہے, میں کیوں کسی کو فاسق کہوں, میں کون سا بنا گیا. اس لیے میرے دوستو اس کتاب کی آپ قدر کیجئے, اور یہ فتنہ صرف انگلینڈ میں نہیں, یہ فتنہ انڈیا پاکستان میں بھی ہے. تو مولانا اردو میں لکھ رہے نا, ہو گیا, اس کی ضرورت ہے اردو میں بھی. اور کوئی عربی میں لکھنے والا ہو اگر آپ لکھ سکتے ہیں تو نہیں, اسے کسی کو کہیے اس کا عربی میں ترجمہ کرے, ہر زبان میں اس کی ضرورت ہے. اس وقت عجیب و غریب فتنے, اور ہمارے یہاں تو آپ کو کیا بتاؤں, سوالات آتے ہیں, بعض سوالات تو میں خود پریشان ہو جاتا ہوں, کہتا ہوں بھائی مولوی اقبال رنگونی کو بھیجو, وہ اس کے جواب دیں گے, ہمارے بس کا نہیں ہے. تو اس لیے میرے دوستو ہم اپنی ایمان کی فکر کریں, اب اللہ سے دعا کیا کیجئے. مولانا نے اللہ کی رویت کے بارے میں للذین احسن الحسنا و زیادہ ایک دعا, میں مکہ مکرمہ میں تھا شیخ نظام کے ساتھ, تو آخری دن تھا, تو کہا بھائی کعبہ نظر آ رہا, اجتماعی دعا کرتے ہیں, تو شیخ نظام نے مجھے کہا تو دعا کرا, میں کہا نہیں میں تو بہت کو دیکھا رہا ہوں. تو ایک شیخ آئے تھے عراق کے, انہوں نے دعا کی, اس میں ان کی دعا مجھے بہت پسند آئی, اللہم انا نسألک الجنہ و زیادہ, اللہم انا نسألک الجنہ و زیادہ, بس یہ مجھے بہت پسند ہے. اللہ شیخ نظام کی عمر میں بھی برکت عطا فرمائے. ان کا جو نسخہ آیا ہے میں لانا بھول گیا, آپ دیکھتے تو خوش ہو جاتے, انہوں نے جو سغانی کا بخاری کا نسخہ فی ریاض الصالحین, میرے لیے بھی آپ دعا فرمائے, اور اللہ آپ کی مسجد کی جو ارادے اللہ اس کو پورا فرمائے, جو نئی جگہ ہے اللہ اس کے لیے غیب سے انتظامات فرمائے. وآخر دعوانا الحمد للہ رب العالمین, صلی اللہ وسلم علی سیدنا مولانا محمد وآلہ وصحبہ اجمعین.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين إذا زلزلت الأرض زلزالها وأخرجت الأرض أثقالها وقال الإنسان ما لها يومئذ تحدث أخبارها بأن ربك أوحى لها يومئذ يصدر الناس أشتاتا ليروا أعمالهم فمن يعمل مثقال ذرة خيرا يره ومن يعمل مثقال ذرة شرا يره الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر بسم الله الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين ويل لكل همزة لمزة الذي جمع مالا وعدده يحسب أن ماله أخلده كلا لينبذن في الحطمة وما أدراك ما الحطمة نار الله الموقدة التي تطلع على الأفئدة إنها عليهم مؤصدة في عمد ممددة الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر
الله سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على النبي الكريم اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم ربنا أنت السلام منك السلام تبارك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام اللهم ربنا إنا نسألك الفردوس وزيادة يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم ربنا آمنا فاكتبنا مع الشاهدين ونطمع ويدخلنا ربنا مع القوم الصالحين إلهنا ألحقنا بالصالحين اللهم إنا نسألك الخير كله ونسألك خير ما سألك نبيك وحبيبك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ منك نبيك وحبيبك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاء ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم اللهم ربنا اجعل اجتماعنا هذا واجعل تفرقنا بعده تفرقا معصوما ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم وتب علينا يا مولانا انك انت التواب الرحيم برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين
I just initially want to thank the respected guests who came. I'm a junior and they just came to In Urdu, we say Hosla Afzai ke liye. Mufti Saab's not well, alhamdulillah. He gave us his time. I hope you all benefited. Dr. Saab also came. Mufti Athmar also came. Mufti Muad Saab also came. May Allah Ta'ala accept all are coming here. May Allah Ta'ala bless them even further. May Allah Ta'ala allow them to become even greater beacons of light for not only this generation, but also the forthcoming generations. Insha'Allah Ta'ala, food has been readied for all the brothers in the madrasa hall. So all are requested after they perform their sunan and nawafil, they make their way to the madrasa hall and partake of the food. Jazakumullahu khairan.